Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Coach Speak. I'm Matt Seidel, along with fellow hosts Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Derek, Josh, welcome back to the pod. Feels like we haven't talked much about basketball lately, although I guess Derek and I talked hoops for about 2 hours last night, and Josh and I were on the doing the same during the Alabama-Georgia game, so I guess it never stops, podcast or not. But all of that said, are you guys enjoying one of your last free weekends before the start of the season?
Yeah, definitely enjoying it. I'm getting excited. I'm getting that itch to get going again, that's for sure.
I heard that the Seidel family did a little team bonding already with a little scavenger hunt yesterday. I mean, you guys are already like getting connected, like getting ready for the season type things. So that's
well, I figure I'm not going to see my wife for about 4 months once we start, you know. And so, little Johnny Quest, they call it. We were out flying around Washtenaw County trying to find $7,000 or $8,000 worth of jewelry yesterday. I don't think anybody found it. The quest is still on, but the riddle is. I can't reveal the riddle. I would be breaking the rules, but it's tricky. We had a lead. We thought we did, but after about 15,000 steps for each of us, we after in 6 hours, I think is what we put into it. We gave up at least for yesterday. So it was fun though. Fun.
That's awesome. You should take your team on one of those. Do a little jewelry hunt. That'd be good. I think the Eagles would like that. But, I am not enjoying this downtime. I hate this time of year. I just want to get started. I want to get in the gym. I want to practice. I want the season to start. No, I let's go. November 16th cannot get here quick enough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, well, we have something a little different planned for this week and for the next few weeks, for that matter, as we delve into previewing basketball teams from the greater Ann Arbor area. This week, we're opening with six boys teams who are not part of the Southeastern Conference, and that would be Father Gabriel Richard, Milan, Arbor Prep, Whitmore Lake, Belleville, and Green Hills. Down the road, we're planning to discuss girls basketball teams from the area, boys teams from the Cascades Conference, and eventually separate podcasts for both the SEC White and SEC Red boys divisions. So let's get right to it. Derek, you have the report on Gabriel Richard. So what can we expect from the Irish this year?
Yeah, all right. So to start with Father Gabriel Richard here, last year they finished 8-14. However, they did have a 5-game winning streak going late in the season before they lost to Airport in triple overtime in the district semifinal. So they were starting to get things going at the end of the year there and a tough loss in that district semi. They're coached by Rex Stanzek, who we had on the pod recently. He'll be in his second season as the head man at FGR. And he actually returns 5 rotation players from a year ago. We'll get into some of them shortly. They did happen to lose their best player, though, which was Greg Kenzicki, who is now heading to Madonna to play to continue his career. He actually led them in scoring, assists, and was their primary ball handler all the time. So it's a big loss that they're really going to have to work to figure out how they're going to replace him. But outside of that, they do have the majority of their rotation guys back. Some of those guys are Paul Heyman, Chris Chavey, Jacob Tenbush, Mitch Foley, and Nate Turner. And they also will add a few guys off the JV, notably Russell Schwartz, JP Fredericks, Chase Gabowitz, and Cole Heiser. Beyond that, they are assigned to the Chelsea District this year, which includes Fowlerville, Williamston, Stockbridge, and Canton Prep. And checking in with Coach Stanzek, you know, he's hoping that they can, continue to make a little bit of a jump here with it being his second season, becoming a little more familiar with him, obviously. And despite losing their best player, he thinks that they can make some progress. He likes their versatility coming into the season. He thinks they can really benefit from some positionless basketball, you know, the hot topic term these days. And a couple other notable stats from last year. They did hold teams under 50 points per game and under 40% shooting. So they're hoping they can continue with some sound defense this next year.
Josh, are you listening to that under 50 points and sound defense? Are you listening to all that? Just based on basketball experience this weekend?
Yeah, I have 3 comments about that. One, you and I had an interesting discussion about this last night. Pace of play dictates points per game I know that a lot of these coaches that have teams that struggle to score like to throw the points per game out there. But I think Chelsea's going to reveal how many points per game they gave up last year as well. But pace of play, as you know, dictates a lot of that. And I obviously played for Rex, brilliant coach, but his Princeton offense lends itself to a slow pace of play. So that helps his defense, obviously. And then on top of that, I know that Rex had to Google positionless basketball because there's no way he's actually experimented with anything like that. But I do love that he's trying to keep up with the times. I do love my man. And then, you know, I heard a Chavy name in there. Now, they used to have an outstanding older brother named Joe who ended up playing some college basketball at Ave Maria. Lefty, really good player about 4 or 5 years ago there. So I'm assuming that's a younger brother.
Yeah, I tell you, that's funny about Rex, by the way. This Paul Heyman looks like he might be the guy that kind of comes in for Ken Zicke. What, a 6'2 senior. Rex says he plays all five positions, kind of refers to him as a Draymond Green type player. So it's going to be interesting to see his role this year as he kind of tries to step into the was in the shadow perhaps of Ken Zicke, but he's going to be the main guy. It's funny because we play Gabe Richard on December 11th this year, we being Olivet, and not looking forward to this game. They're going to come to Olivet. Maybe that long bus ride will sap some juice out of him a little bit. But it's going to be a tough game, especially with Rex being in his second year, kind of putting his stamp on this program. I will say this. The game was originally scheduled for December 12th, but I was told in no uncertain terms they're not playing on December 12th because that's the Michigan-Ohio State game, and that's Rex's priority in life probably for the last 40 years. So this game had to be moved to Friday, which I actually agreed to. So because
and the best part is it's almost been 40 years since Michigan's beat Ohio State, which is kind of ironic.
I teed that one up for you pretty nicely, but
yeah,
their conference last year they were in a league where like. Everybody, there's only four teams in their division, the Catholic League, Detroit Loyola, Divine Child, and Macomb Luther North. All three of those other schools had like 15 or more wins. And then there was Gabe Richard that had kind of a down year, at least in the middle of the year, they struggled. This year, it'll be interesting. I don't know that they're ready to contend for their division title, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're at least out of the bottom, perhaps even maybe jumping ahead of of Luther North this year, but it's a tough conference for them. Fortunately, it's only six games that they have to play. So,
what do you guys think about their district? Obviously, Josh is in the same district as them. I know there's a couple tough teams in there. What do we think about that?
Well, I tell you what, if Chelsea can't win, if Chelsea just really struggling in the postseason lately. I think that's an understatement. I'm kind of messing with you again, Josh. Sorry, but
I think we are defending district champs because I think COVID canceled the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah. But weren't you already knocked out of that district that got canceled?
Well, okay. I don't know if that counts. I don't know if any of that counts.
If they're going to give trophies to all the remaining teams, Chelsea would not have gotten one. Just saying. Yeah. But I think Chelsea's the favorite in that district. Williamson's in
over Williamson. You think we're the favorite over Williamson?
Williamson's in there, but their best player is now in Texas. So that was the little gift you got early for Christmas. So we'll see. Chelsea at home, I'll take them. But Richard will, you know, they're in there against some teams they can handle, and they're always a problem just because of Rex's system and how hard his kids are going to play.
I have no comment about the district.
I wouldn't either if I were you. Well, hey, I think we're exhausted. Gabe Richard, looking forward to seeing that product this year. I think it's going to be I think it's gonna be a little bit of fun watching. So let's move on to the Milan squad, coached by Chris Pope, one of Josh's former assistants who has done a great job since Josh left. Has, you know, obviously taken a team to the Breslin Center, I think, in his first year, and then has just kept them relevant and competitive and done a nice job. I keep hearing. You know, it seems like the last 3 or 4 years that Chris is going to retire, but he's still plugging along. So I don't know. Maybe Josh will have some insight on what his future plans are. But the Milan was 9-12 last season. They too finished strong, won 6 or 7 in a row late in the year before losing to Dundee in the district semifinal. They're top returners. They've got some interesting guys here. Got a guy named Daniel Runkel. He's a 5'9" senior point guard. Connor DeSalier, 6'5", sophomore, kind of a stretch four. Jeff Isaacs, he's a football name's coming up here, 5'9", junior guard. Evan Morlock, 5'11", junior guard. And Hunter Osborne, 5'9", senior. A couple newcomers that probably should keep an eye on. Another guy with some size, kind of a true post player, 6'4", junior Ethan Budd. And we have a 6-foot junior guard named Javier Cuadrado. And I probably butchered that name, but that's, you know, those are the seven probably even before they start practicing that are probably on the radar. And there may be some other guys that jump in there. This is a tough deal. Last year in their conference, it was interesting. I think Jefferson went 0-14, and everybody else had either somewhere between 6 and 10 wins. And Flat Rock won the conference last year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's pretty competitive. I expect it to be competitive again. I don't know if Milan's ready to compete for a league title with people like Riverview and St. Mary, maybe having an edge over the others, but it should be another competitive Huron League, you know, conference race this year. So, Josh, any insight on Chris and his squad and Milan this year?
They'll be a middle of the pack team, I think, in the league from what I've heard from Chris and from Randy and some of the other teams. But Chris really thinks they have a great opportunity to win a district, and he thinks that they'll be playing their best basketball in March. And as far as him and rumors of leaving, yes, that's every year. Steve Brooks and Chris Pope are one and the same when it comes to that. If you talk to Chris in November or even in the summer, he's loving life. He's ready to coach. You talk to him in February and he's like, oh, this is it, you know, and then he gets excited for districts again, gets all amped up, and it gets him through the spring. And so, I mean, I just think, you know, he'll be there. He'll be 10 years from now, he'll still be at Milan.
Their district is they're in the airport district, which includes Blissfield, Dundee, Ida, Monroe, Jefferson, and Tecumseh. So, yes, it is it's a very winnable district. Just looking at that that roster of teams, I'm not sure if any of those guys, any of those schools are going to be up here.
Blissfield would be the favorite just because the Ty Wyman kid, who's going to probably be a Division III player somewhere and is a really, really good high school player, though. It just doesn't project as high into college, but he's a really good player. And don't sleep on Tecumseh. They drilled Milan last year, and playing in the SEC is a lot tougher than playing in the Huron League.
Something that's noteworthy, I think, with their schedules, they actually, in their non-league, they are playing a handful of teams from the SEC. They got Tecumseh, Adrian, Bedford, and Monroe on their non-conference schedule, which, again, I think just shows that they really should belong in the SEC at the end of the day.
You know, back to a couple of these guys, too. I didn't, just Jet Isaacs, guard that I mentioned. You know, Chris said that, you know, he's really going to kind of count on him as being one of his, you know, best defenders. He's going to call on him to push pace and knock down some open shots. So you're going to bring that football athleticism to the basketball court. And the Morlock kid, Evan Morlock, Chris kind of referred to him as a glue guy, someone who does a little bit of everything, which no team can have too many of the guys like that. So it should be interesting to see how they evolve. That momentum they got at the end of the last year, and see if it will carry over a little bit. Obviously, they lost their two best players from last year, at least their top two leading scorers, and Kyle Carey and looks like Evan Furtney. If I pronounce that right.
So, you did. Yep.
So they'll have to recover from that. But I guess everybody's got to do that. So, okay. That takes us to our third team of the day, and that would be Arbor Prep. Josh, what can you tell us about those fellas?
Yeah, Arbor Prep, coached by Ra Murray. All right. They were 15-6 last year. They play a really unique and interesting schedule because they're not in a league. So they really got to go out and find games. And because of that, they play some really tough, interesting games, but then they obviously get a lot of cupcakes on there too. It's kind of a give and take just because they got to get what they can get. They're assigned to the Whitmore Lake District, which also includes Green Hills, Charles Stockwell Prep, and Lutheran Westland, as well as Whitmore Lake. Last year, Manchester was in there as well. They're not this year. Arbor Prep, I mean, is a big time heavy favorite in that district. And, you know, obviously playing such a tough schedule gets them ready for a really nice postseason run in Class C. Their top returners are Amari Bird, who's a 6'6 junior forward. He'll be a two-year varsity starter. He is receiving major interest from D1 and D2 schools, according to Coach. Very high motor. Last year, he played with his back to the basket, but now he's facing up, which at 6'6", he's going to have to face up if he's playing Division I and Division II basketball. Also an elite defender. One of their other returners, Patrick Combo, who's a 5'10 junior point guard, two-year varsity player as well, really crafty left-handed point guard who his major role is creating for his teammates, but can really get into the paint and make some things happen. Another returning player is Malcolm Clements. Malcolm is a 6'3 senior guard. He averaged 10 points a game last year. He can get to the rim, but he also shoots the three very well, according to Coach. Their last returning player that will make an impact, he believes, is Zion Marshall. Last year, Zion was a role player, but he is their best three-point shooter and a knockdown guy. Probably plays really well with Patrick from the way Coach explained it. When he gets into the paint, this is a guy he can find for three. Coach had four other key players. Xavier Brooks, a 5'10 sophomore, Caleb Mason, a 6' junior, Ali Shafif, a 6'4 senior. That's a great name, by the way. And then Dior Partee, another great name, 5'10 sophomore. So, again, a lot of young guards, you know, but they also have some size. Not a lot of seniors that we read off. They're only three. So, you know, they'll be a little inexperienced. And I don't know if that'll be a factor or not, but Coach last year said they were about to play for their second district championship, as we kind of alluded to with COVID. But the matter of fact is they are always a heavy favorite in their district. They won one 2 years ago. They had four seniors that were impact guys leave their program, their best player being Maurice Anderson, who committed to U of M Dearborn and unfortunately will not be playing basketball this year because as of right now, U of M Dearborn has canceled all sports. So I'll be interesting to see if Maurice transfers. I did not talk to Coach about that, but that'll be interesting for us to follow up on is to see where he ends up. Some of Coach's comments, this year's team will still have a very solid year, even being young, because we're not afraid to play people. And, you know, like we referenced earlier, they play some really tough non-league teams like Romulus, Huron, Skyline, those type of things. Hanover Horton last year. I don't know if they're on the schedule this year, but those are some really tough teams they play. You know, going back to some college football, like we talked about earlier, they remind me a little bit of Notre Dame like that, where my Irish have to play one of the toughest schedules in the country because they're an independent. It was also nice waking up this morning to see Notre Dame ranked third in the country, by the way. Coach also said that he's looking forward to seeing how this group comes together, which, you know, obviously it's a tough year. I know all the coaches we talked to reference the fact that no summer basketball, no spring workouts. There's a lot of unknowns for all of us. Rob Murray is got a great history in the state of Michigan coaching. This will be his 25th year. He's coached at several high schools and a junior college. He even spent a little time as a scout in the NBA. And then he had the privilege of coaching, you know, one of the best high school basketball players I ever saw, Maurice Ager, who played at Crockett and went to Michigan State. Also Brandon Jenkins, who played at Louisville. So, you know, Arbor Prep, one of the sleeper teams kind of in the area. They're more known for the girls basketball. They've had some really good boys teams here and there. And I think Coach Murray, if he stays, could really put something nice together.
You know, he's a guy that I had not met or talked to, really even knew much about until I had to contact him to get some information for this podcast. So I actually ended up talking to him on the phone a little bit. Really interesting guy. I mean, as we kind of decided whether or not we can expand this podcast during the basketball season, he would be a great guy to have on. He's got a lot of stories, got a lot of energy, just an interesting backstory kind of leading to where he is right now. So, but yeah, Rob Murray, and obviously, you know, he looks like he was the Class B Coach of the Year in 2003 at Crockett. And I remember seeing the 2001 Crockett team when they beat Willow Run in the quarterfinals and then ended up winning a state title. In 2003, they did not win a state title, but they got to the Final Four with Murray as the coach. So
I think we saw that game with a young Derek Seidel.
We did. He was like 8 years old, and he was just taking it all in, man. And look how that inspired him to do what he did.
Who was the legendary Willow Run coach? Was it Isaiah Gattis?
Gattis was coaching the Flyers back then, and that was a talented team. And that was a 66-64 game back in 2001, too, by the way. They almost got to the Final Four. That would have been something. But, Derek, do you remember that? Do you remember being at that game?
I don't remember.
Come
that.
On, man. I bet you remember playing video games back then, but can't remember.
Yeah, probably. I remember going to a lot of games, but not that one in particular.
Was that Royal Oak or Berkeley High School? I forget where we were.
It was a pretty cool gym, though. I know we sat in the end zone bleachers and kind of watched from the first row of the end. Kind of cool. So, but yeah, look forward to seeing these guys play this or hearing more about them, especially, the things that caught my eye about them last year, they played Romulus and Huron last year and only lost by 5 points. They lost by 5 points to that Huron team last year, which tells you the level of play that they were capable of. They also lost to Hanover Horton by 30 last year, and maybe that explains why they're not currently on the schedule this year. But I don't think Coach Murray is in the Gators, I think is what they're called. I don't think they're dodging anyone. So should be fun checking them out. So. Okay, well, that leads us to our fourth preview, and that will be the Whitmore Lake Trojans. Derek, what can you tell us about Coach Ryan Masters and his program this year?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to note with Whitmore Lake is they do have a new head coach in Ryan Masters, former Chelsea assistant for Josh. It should be exciting to see how things go for him. Looking at their team from last year, they were 9-12. They lost in the district semifinal to Arbor Prep, who we just talked about, in a game that wasn't close, but Arbor Prep did that to a lot of teams. Noteworthy stat for the Trojans is they have not had a winning season since going 15-7 in 2013-14. So it's been a little while since they've really had a good team. Their district is they're assigned to their own district they'll be hosting. It includes Green Hills, Charles Stockwell Prep, Lutheran Westland, and Arbor Prep. So again, they've got that tough opponent in there. In terms of their roster from last year, they return a 6'4" forward who will be a junior this year. It's Aiden Stefanovsky, great name there. And then they also return Isaac Brady, who looks like he played varsity as a freshman last year. He'll now be a 10th grader. He's a guard for them, a 5'9" guard. They have a few newcomers, Aiden Baer, a 5'10" sophomore guard that looks like might be playing varsity, as well as Dalton Bachman, another sophomore forward who's 6'5". And then they got a junior, Jackson Ellinger, a 6'1" junior forward there for them. Let's see, what else? In terms of Coach Masters, he had mentioned that they really are going to try and play a quick pace this year. They're going to try and force some turnovers and get out in transition. Obviously, that's always a fun style to play as well as to watch. And he has said that they've been, getting some guys coming into workouts, and he's really excited for the season. Coach, Trope, you got any thoughts on Ryan Masters and his first varsity job here?
Yeah, I mean, I have a little more insight just because obviously him being a former assistant, I still stay in touch with him and talk quite a bit. He's a good friend. He thinks their athleticism is pretty good, so they're really going to get out and try to pressure, like you said, and run and kind of force the issue defensively. Offensively, they're going to kind of run a lot of dribble, drive, and kick, spacing type stuff that he did with us. I think he thinks that they're going to be young this year, but a very bright future. He's going to have multiple sophomores up. He said 3 to 4 sophomores that are going to be in the major rotation or main rotation. So I think that, they'll be young, but they're building towards the future. We joked about Arbor Prep being in his district and he better be playing for a league title. We had a good laugh about that. But the nice thing about high school basketball is you only got to be better one night. It's not a best of game 7 series against Arbor Prep. You just got to get him once. But no, I think Ryan will do a great job. He's a relationship guy. Like any good assistant coach, though, when you have to move over and move to that seat, are you willing and able to have the really tough conversations, honest conversations with kids? And more important, are you willing to deal with the parents? So I think Ryan is able to do both, or will be able to do both. He is, again, great with the kids. He was my rah-rah guy. He was my, you know, put your arm around their shoulder and pump them up guy. Can't do that anymore. Can't get that close. But that being said, I think he'll transition well to the head coaching role.
Now I don't want to bust their aspirations. They were a middle of pack team in their conference last year. It's they're probably going to be hard pressed to be in the middle this year. It's going to be based on just what they lost. But then again, a new system and a new year and the way things are going to go during a COVID season where you never know if the other team's going to be at full strength or not. I guess anything's possible. But how old is Ryan, by the way?
You know, I think he's 27. I don't know his exact age. I guess. I'm not. But I mean, I don't know your exact age either. I just know you're way up there.
He's one of those guys that could be anywhere from 22 to 32. We're just not sure. Okay.
No. He's in his late 20s. I know. Yeah.
I was just curious. He's I love his. I don't know him. I think I've met him a couple times. Just his positive attitude, his energy, and the way he's kind of going about social media right now. You can tell he's into this. And even his notes to us, he said he can't wait to get started. So it's going to be interesting. Kind of reminds me of another young guy who kind of took a stepping stone and started his career at Whitmore Lake. Early on, the highest level of basketball, but definitely put his stamp at Whitmore Lake. Seemed like 20 years ago, and now look at him. Josh, does that remind you of anybody?
I don't know. I mean, young, good-looking coach. I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, yep.
The young part you got right. So, but yeah, that's should be fun. I love seeing young guys come in. Love seeing young officials come in. You see young coaches come in. It keeps our game growing. And I think their brand of basketball is going to be exciting over there. So look forward to it. Okay, that takes us to the Belleville Tigers and Coach Adam Trumpour, and that's going to be my report to kind of share. Okay, Belleville Tigers, nice season last year, 16-5. You know, one of the interesting things with Belleville was their really tough loss to Ann Arbor Huron in the district semifinal right before COVID hit. They lost 50-47 in a game that, I mean, you know, Huron, obviously, nobody would have been surprised if they made a deep run last year, and that was their one possible trip up. That almost occurred. And so Belleville obviously has remained talented. You know, Adam at Belleville, they had two 20-win seasons and one 19-win season since taking over in 2013. He's never lost. He's never won fewer than 12 games during his tenure there. He's had a really successful thing. It's kind of a quiet deal. He's outside the Ann Arbor area a little bit, being over in Wayne County. But he's done a really nice job over at Belleville. They returned some dudes as usual. DJ Johnson, a 5'10" junior guard, first team all KLAA last year as a sophomore. The same with Mario Johnson, 6'5" junior guard, another first teamer as a sophomore. And they've got a guy, an impact player, even a year ago, and even have more of an impact this year. Trayvon Parker, 6'4" junior, kind of a wing post. You sprinkle in some newcomers, guys like Xavier Whitfield, 6'7" senior post, Bryce Radka, 6'6" junior wing post, and Braden Lawhorn, 5'10" junior guard. You've got the makings of a pretty tough rotation. And there are going to be a couple other guys that mix into that as well. Those are just some of the early names that we're hearing about. So this is going to be another exciting, you know, Belleville team. They, DJ and Mario, they were the top assist guys last year as sophomores, and they both shot over 36% from three, at least in their last 10 games of the season. And I think they were two of Trumpour's top defensive players as 10th graders. You don't see that all the time, making that jump to varsity basketball. That defense sometimes takes a while, and they guarded the other team's best perimeter players. And in high school basketball, when you got perimeter defenders, there's a lot you can do out there. So they're going to be young, but they're going to be talented. Get a deep and strong junior class, expecting big things from this team this year. Obviously there's a lot of uncertainty, but when you have depth, I think you can deal with it better than some. I just looking at this this talent's going to be pretty good. I got to believe they're going to be, you know, right there in the KLAA again. They were 14-0 last year, did not lose a game. Wouldn't be surprised if if that happens again. But you know, there's some competition in that conference. You got John Glenn and Wayne Memorial with Coach Brooks taking over there at Dearborn, Livonia, Stevenson. They're all going to push Belleville, and they'll be competitive. I think Franklin and Fortson are decent. On a given night might be able to do something. And it sounds like Livonia Churchill might be a team still struggling in the division. So,
you know, I get the three things come to mind when, you know, looking over the information on Belleville and talking about the Belleville program. One, you know, in an era of a lot of bad leagues in the state of Michigan, and we've talked about this a lot, there needs to be a serious reshuffle of a lot of leagues in the state right now. This might be one of the perfect leagues. I mean, you have the three huge Livonia schools. You have Wayne, Belleville, and Glenn, which are all natural rivals and big schools. And then you got the Dearborn schools. I mean, it's a great league. It really is. The other thing I was going to say is, you know, the district just got a lot easier, by the way, with Imani Bates not being in it. So now Belleville's got a better chance at winning that. That's for sure. And I guess the last thing is Coach Trump and Belleville, they remind me of kind of like Oregon in men's basketball and college basketball. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind in this area. You know, like Oregon's in the West Coast. None of us stay up that late to watch them play. But they're always a top 10 or 15 team. Belleville's usually a top 10 or 15 team in the state. But Oregon just can't get over the hump in the postseason. Doesn't really make noise in the postseason. They had their one Final Four run, much like Krogel did years ago. Probably, I don't know, that seems like 20 years ago that Belleville made that Final Four run that we were there. But that being said, I think Adam does a really good job, you know, but, you know, he's kind of like the Oregon coach. You're like, wait a minute, who's the coach at Oregon? And then same thing with Belleville, because he's not Nate Oates, and he's not a flashy name. He's not Steve Brooks. You're like, oh, yeah, Dana Altman's the coach at Oregon. Oh, yeah, Trump's over there at Belleville. I mean, it just kind of – I mean, we all like Adam a lot, and I think he does a really good job. But he's always going to have his critics, not us, but he's going to have his critics until he finally makes a run in the postseason.
Yeah, I think, too, with just that district, I mean – the district's just ridiculous, and we've talked about it some. Like you said, it does help a little bit having Imani out of there.
A little bit?
But you're still going to – well, yeah, but, I mean, you're still going up against Huron, who returns a ton of guys from a, you know, team that had a chance to win the state title last year, and it's probably one of the favorites in the state this year. I mean, it's still a tough path for them. Something that really obviously strikes you when you watch them play is just they're always going to defend really well. And then they're going to rebound and run in transition. I know that's something that coach even mentioned, that they're really going to try to rely on it. And, you know, with the guys that they have coming back, I think they can definitely do that effectively again.
You know, I had the privilege of interviewing Adam for a coaching job. And the year that I was the athletic director at Willow Run, we had a coaching vacancy. So that would have been the 2012-2013 year. And he was coming from kind of the, like Eaton Rapids, Lansing area, I think. And he applied for the job and, just did a tremendous job. Like I did not know him at all at that time. And so there's a lot to him. I mean, there's some layers to him, and he's got some great thoughts, and he's a good basketball mind, and he's humble enough too, where, I mean, he's kind of, you know, he worked with Nate, and he's picked up things from different people. And every time I talk to him, it's always a great conversation. So I wish him well. And I think Belleville's in good hands with him running the show over there. So
yeah, I think he's one of the underrated coaches in our area. There's no question about it.
Agreed. Okay, that brings us to our final preview of this podcast, and that would be Ann Arbor Green Hills. Coach Trope, what do you think?
Well, speaking of underrated coaches, another one is Coach Andy Wright at Green Hills. Great basketball mind. Really enjoyed watching his teams play over the last few years. You know, they did really struggle last year, which was surprising because I think they had a good backcourt coming back, but they had a ton of injuries and then even had some kids move. So they ended up going 3-16 last year. Was kind of an anomaly because they had averaged 16 wins per season the 3 years leading up to last year. So this is a really good program. They just kind of had like a lot of bad things happen at once and just kind of, you know, pile up on them. They are also in a very tough district though with Arbor Prep. But you know, at Whitmore Lake with Coach Masters and such, but you know, they have some nice pieces coming back. They got a 5'9" guard, Finn Kline. He averaged 19 points a game last season. That's no joke. And he's coming back this year, so obviously he'll draw a lot of attention, which I think will help free up some other guys. And you talk about butchering names. I'm about to butcher some names right here. So he also has two other really good guards, Mikeas Tamrat, which if I hope I said his first name correctly, but that's a great last name, who's a 6-foot senior guard. And then I got no chance at this one, but another 6-foot guard, Andrew Lusiek, who was also a senior. So those guys, they should get a lot of good looks because of a lot of focus being on Finn Kline this year. And then he has a really good newcomer coming in, Jay Vijan, who's a 5'10 sophomore guard. Again, I've seen Coach Wright's teams play. They're going to spread you out. They're going to get into gaps. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to play fast and fluid. And with all these, I mean, there's four really small guards, 5'9", 5'10", and 2 6 footers. They're going to have to be able to score the ball because they're going to have some defensive issues matching up and things like that. Last season, obviously, again, an anomaly, 3-16. So as expected, they finished last in the Catholic League intersectional division. But I would expect them to move up quite a bit this year and get kind of back to where they were leading the 3 years leading into last season. You know, and Coach, when we talked to Coach, you know, he did mention those things. They lost 13 players from graduation, moving, injuries, and other reasons. So last year's team was very inexperienced. But I thought this was a great point he brought up. They were involved in 7 games that were 2-point games with under a minute to play, and they finished 1-6 in those games. Now, that could be growing pains for youth. I'd take a serious look as a staff, though, what we were doing down the stretch, too. Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, talks about that every year at the end of the season. He wants to know what their record was in games, you know, determined by 5 points or less. Because as coaches, you know, you got to look at it. We got to make the – are we doing enough situational stuff? Are we making the right decisions down the stretch? Things like that. So not only will experience help, but hopefully they'll take a long look at that as a staff as well. And then hopefully – through learning through those tough lessons, you know, and having 4 underclassmen on varsity that are now returning players, they're expecting better things this year.
Yeah, you know, I actually remember watching Green Hills play against Gabriel Richard a couple of years ago when I was scouting when I was at
I think I was sitting next to you that night.
Yes. That was – they really, really impressed me that night. And they had a couple of young guards, and that might be – I don't remember the names. These might be some of the guys who are still there. And they just were so impressive the way they played. And they dominated a team – Gabe Richard team that like had more athleticism, had some bigger, longer kids, and it just wasn't close.
Don't you think though, Derek, that injuries and kids leaving, that must be who he's talking about? Because those kids you're talking about, I remember they were not seniors. They were young.
No, they weren't. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I wish I could offer more on the Green Hills insight. You guys did a great job there. When I think of Green Hills, I think of Pete Pullen. Where is Pete Pullen these days? And that's a name.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's like 30 years ago.
Oh,
dude.
Pete was the girls coach back when I was at Pinckney, and then he ended up being my JV coach at Little Run for a while. Great guy, just great representative of Green Hills, and that's how I even got indoctrinated into the Green Hills kind of way of doing things. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Andy Manning was a Green Hills guy at one point too, but yeah, I am dating myself, but I'm sorry. I think of Green Hills, I can't not think of Pete Pullen, and I hope he's doing well. So, but anyway, okay. Well, hey, that was fun. That was our first 6 schools. I think it went pretty well. We got a lot of information out there and hope to share it. It's early. It's pretty early to do a previews. I know we're beating most of the media outlets when it comes to previews. Our next goal.
Wait a minute. Did you say media? We have media outlets in Ann Arbor that cover basketball. I wasn't aware of that.
I was driving through Ann Arbor yesterday, and there was a building that said, you know, M Live, Ann Arbor News. So I assume there's still people working in that building. I don't see a lot of information coming from that pertains to high school basketball in our area. But I guess maybe it's football season, and we're not going to get that right now. But that's why we're here. That's why we're here doing this. So.
Right.
Our future plans are to our next podcast. We're going to focus on just random girls basketball teams and players in the greater Ann Arbor area. We're going to try to put it all into one podcast and currently reaching out and getting some information from coaches. And that's been kind of exciting. And then from there, we're going to feature the Cascades Conference Boys Division. And then we're going to save the Southeastern Conference White and Red Divisions for last. And those will be 2 separate podcasts. So it's fun. We're trying to squeeze all this in before we actually get busy with our own season. So,
Derek, does that mean after all those previews that your dad's going to do a whole podcast just on the Olivet Eagles basketball team? Is that what's going on? Or
I think that right. seems I mean, only fair. Like this right? is like that an
outlet podcast in some way. So, okay. If we're going to bore people with information on Napoleon and Chelsea, we definitely can do a podcast on Olivet. Because there's a lot going on in Olivet these days. I'm just wanting you to know that. Despite a tough football loss to Williamston, we'll get our daubers back up. We're a class operation. We'll bounce back. But, yeah, I think that's a great idea. So maybe we will have an extra one with we'll call it the Olivet Way or something like that. That does it for this episode of Coach Speak. Derek, Josh, great job reporting, and we look forward to next time. I want to thank everyone for listening. Again, our next podcast will feature girls basketball in the greater Ann Arbor area. Until then, stay safe, mask up, and peace.